Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is an incredible artist. He is killing it in the one-of-one custom game Distraction Figures. Crushing it, absolutely crushing it. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. If you want to support the show, you can jump on all socials and follow at Toys on Tap. And if you want to support the show a little bit more and get a little bit more content, you can jump on that Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. For $3 a month, you can get access to something called the Nitty Gritty. It's a dope little extra time with each artist, 10 to 15 minutes. And if you want to support the show even further, you can jump on our YouTube channel, check out all the unboxings, and check out everything we got going on with content over there. Now, let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. What's going on?
Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't do this shit very often, so.
No. No worries.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm pumped. Okay. I'm pumped.
See myself up there.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. The ones that are up right now, are those the ones behind you? The ones that are up on eBay right now?
Yeah, that's right. Just the ones. That's the only two that I have up right now.
Nice.
I put them up temporarily while they're up, and then I put up the new ones next week.
Dude, I spent most of the day scrolling through your Instagram and I do it for every artist, but for one-off artists, it's a little different because like everything is just like, who knows where you're pulling from for any idea. So every idea is different and cool and insanely good work. Like, oh, well done. Holy hell.
I try.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of Toys on Tap. If not, that's okay. It's a toy podcast that interviews artists that use toys as a medium from all over the scene, from Sofubi to resin to factory, all those things. And you were next on my list to get on. So now we're finally doing it.
Right on. Yeah, no, I did hear about it actually. Todd, Texas T Customs, he had mentioned like a year ago. I was like, oh, I'm going to be on. I gave you a shout out. I was like, oh, cool. I listened to it.
Yeah. It was the one that was like, how do you like, every once in a while I'll post out like, what artists should we get on? Mm-hmm. And every time I post that out, he posts about you. And I was like, all right, I'll work on it. And so I'm glad that we get to do this.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. Before we do anything though, please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
My name is Luke LeBlanc, known as Distraction Figures, I guess. And I just pretty much do what I feel like making and posting on eBay every week. That's about it.
Yeah.
No real direction, man.
Is this your full-time gig?
No.
Okay.
No, I work full-time.
Yeah. I always am the most excited to meet people that do like toys full-time because that's a life that's a dream.
Yeah. No, I don't dare take that risk.
Yeah. My wife and I have talked about that. Like if I got to that point and I did that, like what, and she was like, I don't care if you get the most famous, you're never taking that leap. That's a scary leap.
No, I thought about it a few times, especially during COVID. Cause that's kind of when I started doing it. And I was like, you know what? I could probably do this full time.
Yeah.
Probably do it. But it's like,
takes the joy out of it.
No job security, no benefits, none of that stuff. So it's like, just work full time and do this on the side, no commissions, no, just kind of creative freedom, do what I do on my own time kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crazy thing, I mean, we're going to get to this, but no commissions. So that means you're really just making art that you want to make, which is the goal for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I've taken some commissions before. I shouldn't say that I don't. I have, but I typically don't really enjoy them because it's not creative freedom. Like, oh, I want you to, it feels like a job when you guys like, I want you to make this like this and this and this, and this is what I want for the card back. And it's like, well, it just feels like it's like a job. So.
Yeah. My least favorite part about that is I've done commissions through my toy account and it's like, it never is like, hey, make me in a dinosaur suit doing this. It's like, can you make my dad into an action figure?
Yeah.
It's like, sure. What is he like? Well, he's old. It's like, well, okay. That's not enough for me.
Now, when I first started doing this early on, when I used to like reply to emails or messages, because now it's overwhelming as hell. I got like a pile of them, but yeah. Like, hey, can you make me, like, I'll just make me in my leather jacket and my motorcycle and this and that. It's like, well, that doesn't sound like fun to me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make rock stars and horror movie stuff.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone had said something, they were just being awful in the messages about commission work. And I was like, this is just what it costs. It takes a lot of effort to like get excited. And they like begrudgingly were not, like, they just went for it. And I was like trying to get out of it. And so I finally said, okay, the thing that we're going to need is I need 35 photos of the person.
Right.
Knowing full well that they were going to be like, no, I'm in. Yeah. And I just couldn't get out of it. And they finally were like, that's insane. And they like never text or messaged me again. I was like, I think I'm the winner here.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah. Like your while or the stress. Especially yeah. When I first started, I was just throwing stuff on eBay, surprisingly making good money. And then someone would contact me and I'd reply back. And you know, it's like, well, I sold this thing for $200, $300. It's like, you know, yeah. I'm going to make something that's going to be around that range. Like, oh, really? Like, I thought it was going to be like $40. It's like, no, this shit takes a lot of time.
Right.
Like, it's pretty time consuming, you know?
Yeah, which is crazy. But I'm pumped that you're on. When we bring on everyone, we're going to go through your history. But in order to do that, I got to know, growing up, what toys you had, what toys you played with, what was it like Saturday morning cartoons? Walk me through that childhood.
Toys for me, main toys as a kid was definitely wrestling toys by far. But that's number one for sure. After that, probably Spider-Man animated series came out in 94. So I was 12, 13. So I was buying all those up like crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've always been big on action figures. Always excited to go to the Toys R Us or wherever and go into that aisle. And I was instantly gravitate toward the action figure section, so that's definitely anything that looked cool I would buy, even though I never seen the show or nothing. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool, it's got a removable mask or removable helmet, like stuff like that. That's what kind of got me going. But yeah, wrestling and Spider-Man was probably like my two go-tos as a kid.
Yeah.
And Turtles, Ninja Turtles, of course. I mean, I was, you know, I should have said that was probably number one, because like when I was really young, that was definitely, yeah, definitely had a bucket full of Ninja Turtle toys as a kid, for sure.
Yeah, which, so I grew up in the 90s. I was born in 1990. Wrestling figures were never on my list. Which ones did you have? Like, did you have the ones that were like all static and they were like that rubbery material?
Mm-hmm. That was a little bit before my time. Okay. I don't shop. Those are like the, I think they're made by Galoob or something.
I hate those ones for some.
Those big rubber ones. Yeah. I got some from my yards, like my parents bought a bunch of the yard sale. I'm like, oh, these suck. They're just like stiff and it's just one solid figure and
yeah,
move. But no, I was more in the Mattel early 90s Mattel figures. They were like kind of like exaggerated and they all had like a special, you know, the super move or whatever, it would do something. Like, that's where it started for me, basically.
Heck, well, yeah,
mainly. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Once they started, I mean the only things I know about are from the Toys That Made Us show when they do that wrestling episode.
Oh yeah, yeah, I seen that. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, the only other thing I had that was remotely, I had a Hulk Hogan, you know those pillows?
Oh yeah. Wrestling buddies.
Yeah, I had one of those. And
okay.
I had no clue what wrestling was when I had it. So it was such a weird thing.
Now, if you're born in 90, by the time you got older, wrestling was pretty lame in like the mid 90s until 97, 98, you start getting cool again.
Kind yeah.
Of like, yeah.
So then we move on to like the point that we all hate talking about. At some mm-hmm. point, you either got to, your parents kept them or you got rid of all those toys because you realized that you were like looking for someone to date or there was video games or something. What'd you do with all your toys?
I think they all got trashed as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Heartbreaking.
Cause I went back years ago to look for some old stuff. I was like, oh shit, like some of this crap is selling for a lot of money on eBay now. And my mom was a like to throw out stuff, you know. I was like, oh well, they haven't played with this in 3 years, so I'm just gonna check it out. So unfortunately, but you know,
yeah
it breaks your heart.
God, that kills the heart so bad hearing it happened to all of us, it feels like.
And I thought about recollecting all my childhood stuff, but I was like, you'll go to a thrift store or something or wherever and you see it's like, I had that. And it's like,
yeah.
seems like too much of an effort, too much time to try to recollect all my childhood, but
you know. Yeah. What do you find? What do you find that you're collecting now? Are you a collector?
I'm not a huge collector, believe it or not.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I have a fair chunk of like the NECA Ultimates, like
yeah,
horror movies. That's pretty much as far as I go for collecting toys.
Okay. Like I started out that way when I started this podcast in 2021, okay, and then it got out of control right behind me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little crazy. Those
all graded and stuff, or?
No, the ones on the wall are bootlegs that I find from different countries for Ninja Turtles and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then
cool,
the stuff behind, I just frame it or do whatever I can. But yeah, I started in that path in my, because I don't like, when you walk into a house and there's like all those tchotchkes or like whatever you call them, knickknacks just sitting everywhere.
Mm.
Not that person. I can't do it. And so when I start, like, that's how my wife met me. But now I'm at this point and she just like will not relent on the fact that like I'm now the knickknack person. So it is.
Yeah,
what it
that's what I mean, I could see myself becoming that at some point. Like I collect off and on different things, but tend to lose interest and I'll get rid of everything and start something else. But
yeah,
surprisingly, I'm not a huge toy collector. You'd think I would be though.
Yeah.
Except for the NECA Ultimates, because I really like realistic stuff and, you know, interchangeable heads and masks and shit. Like,
yeah,
the three and three quarter inch like retro figures don't really appeal to me personally, but there's definitely a market for them. It's, you know, Star Wars is doing it, and like pretty much every like toy company's re-releasing all this retro stuff all of a sudden. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, I wonder if we had something to do with that, maybe.
Yeah.
some of the us guys that kind of, you know, pushing this stuff in the custom world.
Yeah. When you, what is it about specifically those, like the monster ones, what is it about those toys that get you going enough to like buy those? Because NECA makes incredible stuff, like with all the switchable parts and everything and the joints. So what is it about those that get you?
I think the first NECA I bought was like 2002.
So okay.
That's probably around the time they came out, and there was a Predator versus Alien 2-pack, and I'm a major Predator fan, so I'd never seen it. Like I went to wherever it was, a record store, and they just had it. I'd never seen a Predator figure that detailed, and like I was like blown away. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. So I picked that up and kind of been picking up some of their stuff ever since, because I don't know, I just like the more the realistic stuff, and with all the accessories that are like screen accurate and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I had a ton of money, I'd be buying like Hot Toys. I don't know what Hot Toys are, but they're like super realistic, like 16-inch action figures of movies and stuff. Like,
yeah,
crazy, crazy detailed realistic figures, but they're like $1,000 a pop. So it's like,
yeah, no,
that's out of my price range or budget, I guess.
I've seen, this is going to sound maybe ignorant. Did they go out of business?
Oh, did they?
So, well, I,
oh,
I
no,
I'm confusing them with someone, I think.
There's, I can't remember the name of the company, but I remember reading that. Like,
someone went out and they made that type of figure.
Yes. I know you're referring to it. It wasn't Hot Toys, but I don't remember the name of the company.
Okay.
They, like, went out of business and like took a whole bunch of people's money and like,
yeah, there
like,
we go.
Orders and stuff. And they didn't like,
yeah,
fall through with any of it.
And I think in the comments, they were like, oh, I think where I'm getting it confused is they were like, oh, we couldn't keep up with Hot Toys or whatever. And it was like,
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. Yeah. That would suck.
I feel bad for all those people that put all those people that put that money down for pre-order for whatever it was. And it's like no refunds, no nothing. It's like, that sucks. Oh,
that's just as bad as getting rid of your childhood toys. Like,
yeah,
that's money that's just dead.
Exactly.
Those are interesting. I haven't picked up any NECA figures. I probably will at some point. I think I'm afraid to, because that starts a whole nother.
Exactly. I got bad for like a year or two. I haven't bought a whole lot in the last year and a half, to be honest with you. Like anything Halloween related I pick up, but I haven't really picked up anything since then. Cause then you get, I'm a huge Predator fan, and they have like 100 or so different Predator figures. And I've missed out on a bunch of them. And if you try to like pick those up, you're going to spend a lot of money. And I'm like, I gotta like put this shit on the back burner for now, because like I don't want to be spending $400 or $500 for a figure, even though, you know,
Yeah. Anyway. I eventually know I will, but addictive personality, that'll bury me. But at some point you're like going through life, you got rid of all those toys. At some point you kind of start dabbling in art again, where you start like touching art of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
What year is that? Where are we walking in? Is it art school? Are you like a young artist?
I've always been artistic as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
Drawing, painting. Like I've always been told I was good at it and whatnot. But I did paint quite a bit. Like 10 or so years ago, I had like a 2-3 year phase where I was painting a lot of just acrylic paintings and stuff. But the custom figure stuff, that started in like the mid 90s, believe it or not. Because I was a big wrestling fan. I had all the wrestling figures. And wrestling figures were probably like a year or two behind as opposed to the current characters that were on TV. So you'd have a new character that would come out and it would take like a year and a half, 2 years before that character would be made into an action figure. So it would be like, oh, well, this guy's not in the brand anymore. So I'll just take this and Sharpie, whatever, make it kind of look like the guy that's hasn't been made into a figure yet. So that's kind of like, that's the introduction for custom figures for me, is just messing around with my own toys as a kid to make up for the fact that there's no figure available of this new character kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is crazy that it took so, like, I get now working with toy people, I get why it takes so long. But as a kid, there's no way to explain to the kid why it's not the same. Like, why are we not doing the same?
Yeah.
Like, they're never going to understand that, like, you need to sculpt and you need to manufacture in China and, like, all these things.
Oh, especially back then, they were sculpting with wax by hand.
And, yeah.
You know, so, but it's like, okay, what they see currently, they have to work on, takes, like, 6 months to a year, and then they have to send it over.
Yeah.
Or I guess it would be the same for, like, any cartoon or whatever. Like, it'd be, like, what, a year or two before your Ninja Turtles character, your obscure character would show up as a figure, like, Pizza Face or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I guess the same idea for the Turtles figures, I guess, would be like a year or two before you'd see that character as a toy. But now you probably see one, you know, 2-3 months after it would be on TV or whatever, on a show. Yeah.
So you've been a toy customizer through and through since you're a little kid, out of just sheer, like, you didn't have the toys, so you were like, let's make them.
Well, I made them as best I could, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever skill set I had, I didn't have, you know, stuff I use now. It was just kind of like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
Well, I could draw a mustache with a Sharpie and this guy, kind of make him look like the guy that I'm looking for or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you, what was the art that you dabbled in most before we get, it looks like, I mean, I scroll way back. So it looks like 2015, you're posting some kind of art on Instagram and there's a couple, I think it's like drawings or paintings down there before 2019, which looks like where you started like actually doing figures. So what's the art that you're doing fully before we get to action figure stuff?
Well, the action figure stuff actually started, I want to say like around 2005 or six.
Oh, wow.
I was doing custom wrestling figures and selling them on eBay.
Okay.
Because again, like the characters that I wanted to see weren't being made yet at the time. So I would just buy a bunch of current wrestling figures back in 2005, take them apart and, you know, mishmash them, make them into whatever I needed to make and sell them. So I did that for about 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
So that's really where I started with my action figure customization, I guess. It's around those years.
And that's early.
Yeah, there's a few other guys doing it around that time, but it was just kind of, you know. So I did that, 3, 4 years. And then after that, I kind of dwindled down. Really, the interest wasn't really there much anymore. So I just kind of stopped altogether and I hadn't really done any custom action figure stuff since then. And then about 3 or 4 years, I was just kind of doing paintings just to kind of kill the creative buzz, just to you know, do something. And then until the custom figure, what'd you say? How long you went back? Was it 2019 was the first time I posted a custom figure of this new style, the retro style?
Yeah. So like what we would say your style is now, that was the first one.
Probably right pre-COVID, I would imagine,
Which is like to be making figures 2005, selling them on eBay, you got 14 years of figure making. That's like, or some kind of art which led you to like that.
I did it pretty solidly for about 2-3 years, and then I just hadn't touched it at all for since 2000 until 2019. So I guess 10 years I didn't really do much of any of it at all, because I just kind of dwindled down, and I was like, well, I want to get back into this at some point, but it's not gonna be wrestling. I need to do something different. And I just didn't know where to go. And then I start seeing a lot of guys start doing this shit here. I was like, that's interesting. That seems like I might be able to get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's so crazy. That's a, like to start and do that. When you started, and like it was just you were making the ones that you didn't know or didn't exist yet.
Right.
What made you put it on eBay? Did you see anyone else doing it? Or did you research it before you did it, or just go for it?
Yeah, I was, well, just because I was kind of half collecting them myself.
Yeah.
Basically in 2000, I'll try to explain this properly. In 2005, they released a classic superstar lineup. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking like wrestlers of the 80s and 90s, because I was never from like 19, you know, as long as I can remember up to about 99 was when I was a big fan. After that, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't care about the current guys after that. But then in 2005, they released a toy line called Classic Superstars. So they were like reselling, like, you know, Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan in the new format, like the more realistic format. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I was buying a bunch of those. And then, you know, there was a whole bunch of other older guys that hadn't been produced yet officially. So that's what I was making. I was making like custom, like, you know, figures of other wrestlers of the 80s, 90s. And I'd seen, I did see someone else who had made something and sold it on eBay for like, and it was selling for like a couple $100. I was like, oh, wow. Like, because I was looking for one for myself. And I was like, well, geez, I could probably make that. But that's crazy that someone's paying this much in auction for this thing. So that kind of like lit a spark. And like, oh, maybe I'll give this a shot. But, you know.
First dozen
or so weren't pretty. It was a lot of trial and error. So me getting into it in 2019, I definitely think I had somewhat of a head start, because I kind of dabbled in a lot of different shit at the beginning. So I was like, okay, well, I kind of have an idea how to do this. So
yeah, my first toys, if I could get them back, I would.
Yeah.
You're right. Like those first couple, it feels like they're not pretty, and it feels like they're kind of just beat up and gross. And you're like, what are we doing here?
And even me now, when I go back, I'll scroll to like 2019, see what I made. And I look, I'm like, Jesus Christ, like I could have done a way better job than what I did there. Like, it's like, that's so sloppy. But that's the whole point, I guess. It's continuous improvement. You always get better as you do it. So,
yeah. You know. So 2019 comes around.
Mm-hmm.
You get sparked to make toys.
Yeah.
What's the spark that brings you back?
Well, I've been an Instagram user since 2015, and I think I've been following maybe Death by Toys or for sure for like really long time. Because I was like, oh, cool, someone else is making these, like, he was making a lot of horror related stuff, and I thought it was neat. So I followed him. And I think the algorithm brought me to follow Readful Things.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing, like, oh, cool, another guy's making like old horror movie stuff. That's really cool. And then at some point, one of them posted, oh, I have this up for auction. And I was like, well, what do these sell for? Like, there's no way no one's paying like more than $30-$40 for one of these. And then I clicked on it, and it was like selling for like hundreds of dollars, like current bid price. I was like, that's fucking insane. Sorry if I'm swearing. I'm not
supposed to. No, you're good.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, wow, people are really digging this stuff, and they're really paying like a good chunk of change for some of these. And I was like, well, maybe this would be a good time for me to get back into the custom figure hobby of some sort. Cause I was like, you know, not only that, not only the money thing, but I was itching to get back into being creative and productive. Like, I had nothing. I wasn't doing anything other than painting occasionally here and there, but
yeah,
just the satisfaction of sitting down and making something that didn't exist happen. Like, something satisfying about that too, I guess.
Heck yeah.
So I guess that's kind of the start. Is I followed a couple of these guys, and I just followed them, and I admired their stuff. I thought it was cool, neat, and didn't realize what people were actually paying like good money for this stuff. I was like, okay, wow.
And then you went for it.
Went for it.
That's, you know, I wish. I mean, a lot of us find toys by seeing other people create, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But to start out making one-offs that's awesome, because it's like
Empire Blister.
Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75-inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsor Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters.
It's just a new, it's a different style of talent. It feels like you're making like retro style versions of whatever you like from the beginning. Yeah. And it's a different style than what we see a lot of now. Like there's big versions of you guys. There's you and Readable Things and Dano Brown and Death by Toy. And you guys are killing it. But we don't see it a lot, 'cause I think it takes so much skill and so much effort into one toy.
Yeah. Not necessarily. You know what? Some of the bootlegging guys, I definitely feel for you guys. The ones that are like making, you know, one thing and creating a mold and doing like 100 of them, 100 copies. Yep. Like I did one or two DKE toys and it was like, I fucking hated it. Like I had to do 20 of the exact same thing and I'm like repetition. Like I hate repetition.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did once and I was like, oh God, I don't know how some of you guys can just like, hey man, I got 50 of these figures. And then 2 months later, I got 50 more of these. It's like, yeah. I'd rather just make something, you know, put my twist on it and then move on to something else. And that's what works for me. But yeah, as far as like, I think some of you guys should be definitely getting like a lot more recognition and appreciation of the guys who are like, about all the equipment and the tanks and the compressors and
it's crazy.
So every time I you guys for sure.
Yeah. Every time I work with Dove to do Designer Con or some kind of exclusive, it's like I'm always in, or at least my brain is always into it. And then when I'm painting 20 figures, I'm so pissed off the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was for me. I did it. Well, I only did it twice. The first one I had to do 20 copies, and that really sucked. It's like making the copies is fine, but once you start getting into hand painting and then you're just doing the same thing over and over again 20 times, sticking decals on same 20 decals on 20 figures, it gets kind of tedious. And then I think the second time I did something for him was some other special event. I only had to do five. Five was cool. Like that's, I can handle five, but anything other than that, not for me. No.
Yeah, five.
So I applaud all you guys and I see his stuff. It's like, oh, this is going to be a DK gun edition of 50. It's like, Jesus Christ, like how the fuck do you make 50 of these?
Yeah, to have someone that wants to do 50 is insane. I think Luke Chu does stuff like that with Dove. And my hope is that he like gets his painted. Like he doesn't have to do it, that he just like sends it in and someone else will do it. Because there's no way I could do 50.
I can't.
He does, all his stuff has to do with bears, like his the white bears, his thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've seen some of his stuff.
Yeah, and so it's like that. I couldn't do it. But so you start your first few. We're gonna walk up to Pandemic. But how'd you decide your first few that you were gonna make? Because it's daunting. You're just starting back in on action figures. What were the first few that you were like, this is why, this is what I'm doing? Can you remember?
I was pre-pandemic. I was on a big 80s movie, horror movie kick in general. Like I was watching a lot of cheesy, old, shitty 80s horror movies. And I think I was watching Redneck Zombies one night and I was like, damn, I don't think that'd be cool if there's an action figure line of this character here. And like, that was the first one I did, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the characters of that movie. And I posted it and I was like, that's kind of fun. Like I enjoyed the thrill of creating something and, you know, showing the world, anyone who cares to appreciate it or look at it. It's cool. Yeah. So that's kind of the very start was just kind of making stuff of old horror movies that I watched around that time that I forgot about, that I watched when I was a kid, whatnot. So yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that is interesting is choosing that first one was weird when I started. It felt like I was more nervous to do that than any other toy since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't know what to do.
First couple of years, like, I got to make this perfect or it's not worth it or whatever. Yeah.
And now looking back, it's like, I wasn't even close to perfect.
No, if I go back and look at it, it's like, wow. Like,
yeah.
And my Photoshop skills, like I was using Photoshop a little bit when I was making the custom figures and 05, 06, but just very novice skills. And I hadn't touched Photoshop since then. So when I started again, I was like just lost. And I was like, oh shit, yeah. I don't remember how to do this stuff. And so the first couple of figures, they were like kind of, you know, rough around the edges. But finally I got a feel for Photoshop again. It's like, okay, I remember how to use this stuff now. So, and I'm learning more stuff. It's a weird program. You learn stuff every day. It's like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. So if you're, I don't know if you use Photoshop or if you're something different, but.
Yeah. And I'm the person that like, if you follow the Adobe, or there's a couple creators that all they do is show like how to do things on Photoshop on Instagram. Yeah. And I just save each one of those just in case later on.
Yeah. If you need to do a certain type of style.
There's
someone's doing a tutorial. Great.
That's all it is.
I've watched tutorials too on a few things on how to make things like, because it's like, I don't know how to do this on Photoshop. So I'll have to watch a tutorial. It's like,
I'm the person that like watching it and then you got to scroll back a little bit to make sure you did it right or like see what they clicked.
Yeah, you got to pause it as you go and like, okay, click on this and this. Yeah, exactly.
It's the worst. Yeah. And then we lead up to the pandemic, which is where a lot of us started. That's like, you had a big swath of people that jumped in. That's where I started making toys. And
yeah, I think a lot of us did.
And you're now at home during the pandemic. Are you during the pandemic, are you just cranking out toys every week?
Yeah, I think I was making about two or three a week during the pandemic. Cause I started it right before and then it pandemic kicked into high gear and I think everyone was at home, everyone was bored, everyone's on Instagram, whatever. So for whatever reason, the first dozen or so did quite well. So I was like, well, that's my motivation there. People dig it. People are paying money for it, so why not? And it's keeping me busy and keeping me from going crazy from being at home doing nothing. So that was probably the main.
Your following just explodes.
Back then?
I don't know at what point, but now you're over 20K.
Yeah.
And it just at some point were you always like you weren't always that high. Like at some point was it pandemic that it just like skyrockets?
It's kind of, I haven't followed it too closely. Like some, like once in a while, I'll go look at the insights of like whatever the past 6 months. It is just kind of like a zigzag. Like, I don't know. I think typically the stupider shit I'd make gets more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And for like, you know, not the stuff that like I work really hard on, I spend a bunch of time on, but then I make something really dumb that just takes like a day and then that one gets all this attention for some odd reason. I don't know. Couple of figures here and there along the way we get a lot of attention, and that's, I think, it's just a culmination of people seeing something and sharing it and you get followers out of it. I'm almost 40, so I don't even understand Instagram myself, so
and
it makes no sense to me, but
and then we're walking through the pandemic and you're creating like crazy. How long did that go until you had to go back to work? Did you have a job through pandemic?
I was working and then the pandemic hit and I didn't work for about 7 or 8 months.
What country are you in?
Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. So 7 or 8 months I wasn't working. And then I start working again right back at the end of 2020. So I didn't really have a huge break or anything. Around that time before I started working, it's like, well, I could do this full time, but, you know, I would have to be taking commissions and I'd be ripping the hair out of my head. And, so I went back to work. And, you know, when I get home from work, I chip away at some stuff here after work for a few hours for every night. And that's basically where I'm at, I guess. Yeah.
Making figures nonstop. And then when you went back to work, what was that like? Because then you couldn't spend the most amount of time doing what you loved.
At first it was hard because it was like, because that first couple of weeks back, it's like, damn, I could be at home making figures right now.
Yeah.
Like, there was like that itch was still there. And it was a weird little adjustment at first. But after a while, it's like, well, probably better off this way. I like having a real stable job that I don't really have to worry, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do this full time. Even if I wanted to, I don't think I would. It would burn me out. Like, I prefer it now. It's like work full time and then I can just kind of my own free time when I feel like it, I'll invest whatever. You know, I try to make two or three a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. So I'm happy with that.
That's still a lot. Okay. I mean, full time and still cranking out 2 to 3 figures. That's still a lot.
Well, after doing this for what, 4 years, after four years, you tend to work smarter, not harder, kind of deal. Yeah. You kind of like learn tricks. And it's like, oh, if I do this this way, this will be way faster, you know, instead of me spending all this time sculpting something when I could just use something else that would cut all that time in half. So
yeah,
that might be why I'm just finding better ways of doing things at times that'll definitely save time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Generally 2 or 3 weeks is what I'm trying to push through.
So because you know Todd, I do have to ask, are you a part of the group that makes them and gets them to like conventions to people to sign them, or you give them to the celebrities or anything?
No. I designed his logo for him.
Nice.
Whatever it's called, Lone Star or something. But yeah, no, I have nothing to do with that. But
okay,
he does give me the perks of, hey man, John Carpenter's gonna be signing next week. Like, you want something signed to yours? And I'm like, oh fuck, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but no, I'm not involved in any of that stuff in this with him and the Sliders. So that's really cool though.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, him and I were talking because he has Empire Blisters too. So it's like, yeah. And they sponsor Toys on Tap. So we were talking for a while and he would show me like little glimpses of his work. Mm-hmm. And one-off work is just insane. Cause like you can go all in on that figure cause you don't have to reproduce it. It's like, yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
And so it's, you guys are killing it.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I think some people might appreciate just having a one unique piece as opposed to, you know, like something I made 50 of these and it's, but I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that either. It's just, it's not for me, but
yeah,
I think people appreciate the appeal of, I own something that only I have, it kind of deal. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Looking over, I mean, your time working with figures from 2019 to 2024 and this kind of like where you're just doing one-off customs a lot and you're back mm-hmm. into it. What are some of your favorite pieces? Because if it's all things that you like, that means technically they're all your favorite pieces, which is...
Yeah, whatever. I feel like whatever I'm working on currently is always my favorite piece for whatever reason. That's how I feel. It's like, this is the best thing. That's at least I give myself that mindset. This is the best thing I've ever done is the current thing. But
yeah,
the stuff that I made in the past, I know I've mentioned it along the way. Sometimes on Fridays, I'll repost some old stuff. I'll have to like go through and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I made this. And I post something. Yeah, this was one of the coolest things I think I made.
Yeah.
But there's too many. I can't even remember top of my head right now. Like what? It's crazy to think because it's like, just looking on eBay, it's like 500 items sold. It's like I made 500 figures and sold them like in 4 years. And I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. That's so many.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That
is really crazy.
I don't
think about it.
Yeah. And I don't know that I like that's a crazy amount of push to and a love for the game is what it feels like. Like you have pushed so hard because you like doing this. And there's not an art form that I've found outside of like toy making that does that same thing for a lot of us.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I mean, it doesn't even have to be making figures, but if you're artistic and you're passionate about whatever it is and you spend time on it, like there's definitely some beneficial values there, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you're clears your mind. You're not thinking of anything. You're not, you know, you're just sucked in, working on something, staying productive. And that's good enough for me. That's kind of why I do it, I guess. And, you know, yeah, of course the extra money is great. Like I'll take that too. But
yeah,
primarily it's just, you know, being creative and not thinking about anything at the time when I'm doing it. Kind of deal. Yeah,
that for sure. Yeah, the money's great, but I like doing it. Spoken like a real artist.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Like I don't hold any of the stuff sentimentally. It's like, oh, I don't want to part with this. Like, I don't care. Like, I'll make it. It's gone. Like, it's like I make it, ship it out, work on the next thing.
Have you made one that was hard to get rid of?
Nope.
Not one?
Not one.
In 500 figures?
Not at all. No. No, I don't know why. Move on, just make it, move on to the next thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't feel sentimental about stuff I make for whatever reason. Like, it doesn't.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures, DOV-2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE to a planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV-2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Yeah. Weird. I guess I can understand, like, you know, Todd was, I think I was talking to Todd, but he's like, I always have a hard time parting with my stuff. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
just make it and, you know, send it out. If I really like it that much, I could technically make a second one. Like, there's a few card backs that I have that are signed by a couple celebrities, and I've been meaning to make a duplicate figure for myself, but I haven't even done that yet.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah.
Doesn't that seem less appealing? I've had to, like, I've tried doing that with any toy that I've done with DKE, make one for myself, but it seems like that's the most unappealing thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. I have five things that I have card backs that I have to, at some point, make it for myself, but
yeah,
I mean, it's just been sitting on the back burner, like, yeah, I'll get to it eventually. I'll probably never even make them, but, you know.
Yeah. I just save the card backs. For a while, I was, like, you know, the magazine sleeves almost in a binder. For a while, I was shrinking them down to, like, playing card size.
Okay.
And putting them in the, like, when you have collector's cards in the 9 slots.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're making miniature versions.
Yeah, for a while. And then I could, like, flip through, and it was, like, the coolest thing to see. But at this point, even that became too tedious. Oh, it's like, it's already on my computer. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I thought about doing that, too. It's like, oh, I could make, like, a... you know, like a coffee table book of all the shit I made, but it's like, just go on to my Instagram. It's digital. It's all there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
if Instagram ever fails, every toy artist is going to go nuts and just start building those books.
Yeah, that is true. And I only have half of my stuff saved on my phone because my first phone, or the phone I had before, blew up, basically. Oof. So I lost a lot of that data. So it's like, I'm relying on Instagram to stay alive, I guess, to keep my work all there.
Let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
When you... like, looking forward now, I mean, it's probably hard for you because you make one-off figures, or maybe you do have a game plan. What do you hope comes of Distraction Figures? Like, what's next for you?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep pushing this first. Like, I'm not trying to get anything permanent out of this, I guess. I mean, if something happens, great, but, you know, like, maybe something like, it'd be cool to do something like Killer Bootlegs, where you got an original character made official production run through Super 7. Like, that'd be cool. Like, I'd be cool with something like that. But I don't know. I keep thinking, like, what's the next step? I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
But if just keep doing this as long as the interest is there, I'll definitely do that as long as people care and pay attention. Yeah.
What's cool, I think, about yours versus a run. Yeah, I had Extra Terrestrial on a couple weeks ago. And he makes this figure called the Space Squatch. And we joked about it because it's this, like, I don't know, 12-inch vinyl or soft vinyl figure.
Right.
And we laughed because he said, I'm just going to keep selling it until the interest is gone. And then I'm going to move on to the next thing. It's hard to gauge when the interest is gone for one-off figures, because it's probably different based off of what people love. So what is that, when you say, like, if the interest is gone, what does that mean for you versus,
I guess, if I notice like an ongoing trend where my stuff isn't, if for whatever reason my stuff is selling for, like, rock, because I just throw everything I have on up for auction, 99¢ the starting bid, like, I don't care. But if it ever gets to the point where it's not worth my while anymore, then I would just stop the auction stuff and maybe occasionally make some one-off or mini runs or something and be like, all right, it's $150 bucks a piece, like, you buy it now. But that would be the end game, I suppose, if you know, for whatever reason, there's no more interest and no activity on bidding and stuff.
So yeah,
that would be it.
But we haven't seen that yet. We're not going to speak that into the universe.
Nah. It's off and on. Like, it's up and down.
Yeah.
It's always up and throughout the years. I mean, you can't, you know, sometimes I'll make something and it's like, spend like, you know, all this time on it and it doesn't seem to sell for much. And then I'll make something that takes me a few hours. That's just really stupid and sells for like a crap ton of money. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
okay. Yeah. Does that bother you when that happens?
A little bit. Yeah. It's like, I invested all this time in this one and this is just something I made as a joke or whatever. And it's just like, okay. Like,
and the joke one ends up paying for all the time for the other one.
Yeah. But I guess at first, I think the first run I did, I was like second year in, so I didn't mind doing it for him because I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to be in on it anyway, at least once.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I think it's good for anyone who's getting into the hobby and they want some kind of outlet to exposure and stuff. I think that's the way to go. I mean, if you're just starting out, you'll pretty much work with anybody as far as I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, he's a good guy too. I spoke to him over the phone a few times, so he's a really good guy.
Yeah. And I mean, it's fun to work with him because I don't have to do any of the back end. Like, I get to make the toy, and then once I get it to him, I don't have to deal with it anymore.
No, he's definitely a pro for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. We're going to end up going into something called the Nitty Gritty, which is an episode that it's like an extra 10, 15 minutes that every artist does with me that goes on the Patreon. And yours I want is kind of specific because you do something different than most of the artists on here, which I'm excited for. But before we get to there, we're going to close out this episode. You, with all the things that you've done and the things and where you're headed, saying I don't know, which is crazy. How can people get your figures? How can they get a hold of you if they want? Plug everything you've got. We do this for every artist at the back end of the podcast. So please plug away.
Not much to plug, man. It's just my Instagram page. Distraction figures. You can send me a DM. I mean, there's quite a few that I haven't looked at yet. I typically try to keep it lean because it's just, you know, too much. But after you shoot me a DM and I'll try to go through them at some point. And other than that, I mean, whatever I have currently for sale, I try to 2-3 figures a week. The eBay links on my profile. I mean, click there and let's see what's up. Maybe you'll get a deal. Maybe you won't. Sometimes it's hit or miss, man. Sometimes something will sell for $60 and then something else will sell for $400. It's all over the map. So
yeah,
I try to make stuff relatively for as many people as possible. Like music or movies, just try to mix it up. Even though I'm not a big fan of a lot of stuff I make personally, just kind of keep a variety out there for the masses, I guess, as much as possible.
Nice.
About it.
Yeah. Dang. Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, for having me. Appreciate it.